VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Anti-government protest in Baghdad exploded into violence on Friday afternoon as thousands of demonstrators charged into the so-called international zone. Security forces unloaded heavy machine gun fire, stun grenades, and tear gas as the crowd surged forward. Protests are the culmination of weeks of mounting anger against the government, corruption, and inefficiency. Search crews have found human remains along with the personal belongings of passengers from Egypt Air Flight 804. The Airbus A320 disappeared in the Mediterranean early Thursday while headed to Cairo from Paris, 66 people on board. On whether terrorism caused that crash, security specialist Sajan Gohel of the Asia-Pacific Foundation tells VOA it came at a time of historical significance.
This week marks the 100-year anniversary of the Sykes-Picot Agreement between Britain and France, where they agreed to carve up the Ottoman Empire in the aftermath of World War I, which has been cited by terrorist groups like ISIS as a historical grievance. So authorities were already worried this week that a potential attack could happen. And the fact that something has happened this week only adds to more speculation. This could be terrorism, but we need to wait and see.
France's foreign minister Friday rejected widespread comments that terrorism is to blame. Meantime, aviation experts are warning against speculation. The U.S. military is dismissing a Russian proposal to carry out joint airstrikes against al-Qaeda-linked terrorists in Syria. Washington suspended all military ties with Moscow following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This is VOA News. Top Paris attack suspect Salah Abdeslam refused to talk during his first appearance, that before judges in a court in Paris on Friday. Lisa Bryant has details.
His lawyer, Franck Berton, said Abdeslam exercised his right to remain silent at the morning hearing in a Paris courthouse. He complained that a 24-hour video surveillance of Abdeslam's maximum security cell is taking a psychological toll on his client and called it illegal. Berton had previously said Abdeslam was eager to talk. The Paris prosecutor claims he abandoned plans to blow himself up like the other attackers, including his older brother, Brahim. He's also been tied to the bombers who attacked Brussels airport and the Belgian city's subway in March. His Belgian lawyer has described Abdeslam as a moron with the intelligence of an ashtray and little knowledge of Islam. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Afghan provincial officials say Islamic State commander has killed 11 of his fellow fighters. Happened in eastern Nangarhar province. IS has established a footprint in a number of Nangarhar districts. IS fighters have launched multiple attacks on government security checkpoints. Group also has engaged in fierce clashes with rival Taliban militants in the province. Meantime, NATO foreign ministers agreed Friday to extend the alliance's key training and support mission in Afghanistan beyond this year. NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg said Afghan forces are doing well against the Taliban rebels, benefiting from the current military training launched in 2015 after the alliance ended its direct combat role. Stoltenberg said he's confident NATO's support for the Afghans will continue.
I'm confident that we will be able to announce at the Warsaw Summit firm commitments to continued funding for the Afghan forces throughout the year 2020.
After its longest military campaign ever, NATO has built up the Afghan army to some 350,000 troops, but the Taliban remains a major threat. World Health Organization confirms the strain of Zika virus now circulating in the Americas and linked to brain abnormalities in babies is present in Cape Verde. The so-called Asian type of Zika has been circulating in Cape Verde since October. WHO says it was most likely imported from Brazil, the epicenter of the epidemic in the Americas. Different strain of Zika has been seen in other parts of Africa for decades. You can get more news by going to our website, and you can find us at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Russ Davis here. Welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. And on this edition of the program, we have a special theme that comes to us from an old African proverb. Each one must teach one, as three modern jazz greats have taught lessons to the younger generation. Yes, we base the theme on this edition of Jazz America on an old African phrase, each one teach one. If you don't have the opportunity to enjoy formal education, then each one of us must pass lessons down to the younger generation. Well, that's exactly what's happened in the history of music, especially jazz. Higher art forms like this, which require quite a bit of study and practice, well, you need teachers to show you the way. And on this edition of Jazz America, some of those teachers teach their lessons to younger players, and you'll hear the results. Let's begin, though, with a celebration of the past, as we celebrate what would have been the 112th birthday of one of the original jazz men, Fats Waller, the great singer, entertainer in general, very comedic and fun in the way he presented jazz, but an accomplished player as a pianist and organist. He was born in New York on the 21st of May in 1904. His father was a reverend, so he learned to play the piano first and then the organ to play in his father's church. Well, he had a wonderful style of playing, and it was so entertaining, as you'll hear right now, with the 1935 release, the song entitled Dinah. Let's remember Fats Waller and a classic in jazz history to begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America.
Anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there is, then you know her. Sure to me, Dinah. With those Dixie eyes blazing, how I long to sit and gaze him through the eyes of Dinah D. Every night, why do I shake with pride? Because my Dinah might change her mind about me. Oh, Dinah, should she wander to China, I would hop an ocean liner just to be with Dinah D. Swinging on out to Jackson. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bye, 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 bye.
Revolt, I'm talking about Donna Lee. Yes, yes.
Audience in the San Francisco Bay Area club Yoshi's in Oakland, California, across the bay from San Francisco. That is Pat Metheny on the guitar and Gary Burton on the vibes, and the Gary Burton-Pat Metheny Quartet from the album simply titled Live. Hope you enjoyed the song entitled Syndrome from Pat and Gary and the rest of the quartet. And they've been together and been friends and collaborators since the 20th century. That recording you just heard was recorded in the first decade of the 21st century. So they first got together years ago, and not too long ago, I sat down with Gary Burton and Pat Metheny to talk to them about a number of topics, including what it was like when they first met one another and started to collaborate.
Well, yeah, I probably remember it more clearly than Gary because it was, you know, for me, like, terrifying and exciting and, you know, all those things that happen when you, you know, finally get to, you know, find yourself just even talking to somebody who's, you know, kind of an idol or whatever. I mean, it happened in Wichita, Kansas, where it's just near the area that I grew up in. I already, by the time I was 16 or 17, 18 years old, around Kansas City where I grew up, I was lucky because I had a lot of playing experience and I got to play with a lot of guys and did this festival kind of regularly for a couple years, the Wichita Jazz Festival, kind of as a with a band of my own from Kansas City. And I, at that point, had already split from Kansas City to go to Miami. And they called and said, would I do this festival? I said, well, I really can't because I'm going to, you know, still be in school then. And they said, well, Gary Burton's going to come. And for me, that was like the incentive to say, okay, well, I'm going to do it then because maybe there's a chance that I'm going to get to meet him. And maybe in my wildest dream, I might even get to play with him. And actually, Gary at that time was kind of touring around doing clinics and stuff. So you didn't have your regular band.
No, I just came to play with the school band that was
right
there.
And, you know, knowing a few people there, I kind of like worked it out so that I could kind of be the guitar player that might.
And I didn't want you to play.
Yeah, you didn't want me to play.
This kid walks up and says, hey, I know all your songs. I want to play with you.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, right.
You know, this I don't need. I got a student band. I got to rehearse. You know, that's the least of my concerns is this kid who wants to play the guitar for
right.
me.
That's right.
But you hung in there.
And I actually did know his songs, too, which I'm sure probably must have impressed him. Or
well,
you.
It did. We played one last night on the Letterman show.
I knew a couple complicated ones.
From back at that time, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be the same effect if somebody came up to me now and said, I know all your songs, you know, like people do, and usually they don't. I mean, usually it's like, you know, they can't do anything. But in this case, I actually really did know a couple of his most complicated songs pretty well, so that when we did play together, I mean, I couldn't really play, but I could play the melody. So that was the way I remember it.
Not only did they play together then in Kansas City, but then Pat Metheny followed Gary Burton back to the Berklee College of Music in Boston, where Gary was an instructor for a number of decades and became an instructor there. So not only did Gary Burton teach Pat Metheny lessons, but Pat was able to teach younger players lessons as well. Let's hear some of their collaboration from the album Like Minds that won a Grammy Award for Gary Burton and brought together Chick Corea, Dave Holland, and Pat Metheny for the first time ever in the studio. Here's the Pat Metheny composition Question and Answer on Jazz America from VOA 1. Gary Burton and Pat Metheny in collaboration once again with Chick Corea and Dave Holland. Now, let's celebrate another birthday. Jackie McLean, the great alto saxophonist, born on the 17th of May in 1932. From his album from 1956, titled 4, 5, and 6, here's the song Contour. another of the great saxophonists of jazz history, who took his cue from Charlie Parker, picked up the alto sax like Charlie Yardbird Parker did, and carved out his own unique place in jazz. That's Jackie McLean. Hope you enjoyed that classic from him here on Jazz America. More of our celebration of how jazz greats teach others. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received not long ago, which reads as follows. Hi, how are you doing? I really enjoy your jazz music time. Please don't forget Gatto Barbieri, Yellow Jackets, and Larry Carlton. They are my favorite jazz musicians of all time. Good day, Yosef Tedesi from Ethiopia. Well, Yosef, we played some of the brand new Yellow Jackets release last week. Hope you had a chance to hear that. I'll certainly be happy to give you some Larry Carlton music from the great guitarist from the West Coast in the future. But right now, let's remember Gatto Barbieri, who passed away just literal weeks ago. Here's one of his most famous songs, his interpretation in a jazz vein with a Latin flavor, of course, he being from South America, of Ravel's Bolero. It's from his 1978 release, Tropico, and it's just for you, Yosef Tedesi, listening to Jazz America in Ethiopia.
help it, even if I could. Can't help it if I wanted to, wouldn't help it. No, can't help it if I wanted to, wouldn't help it, even if I could. Can't help it if I wanted to, wouldn't help it. No, but Lee, shut a little world about love. But don't they lay, but don't
award-winning vocalist, composer, band leader, actress, and producer of other people's work, Dee Dee Bridgewater, with her version alongside trumpeter Theo Kroeker of the Stevie Wonder classic I Can't Help It. And that came from Theo Kroeker's debut effort, Afrophysicist, which, by the way, was produced by Dee Dee Bridgewater. We're going to get a little bit of that story of how they came together and then hear a cut from Mr. Kroeker's second solo effort, just out, as a matter of fact, Escape Velocity. But first, Dee Dee Bridgewater joins us here on VOA's Jazz America. Okay, speaking of the future,
talk to me about what's up with you for the next 6 months or so. We're going to be following you around.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody needs to show you your schedule, right?
Someone has to show me where I'm going. I can tell you about the next couple of weeks. I am, in my own way, trying to support the youth in jazz. I'm producing my first artist on my label, DDB Records.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a young trumpet player by the name of Theo Croker. He's 25.
I know his name.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, the grandson of Doc Cheatham.
Yeah.
I met him 2 years ago in Shanghai. And he was part of a big band that I played with. And then I went to a jazz club. Actually, the jazz club was sponsoring this festival. And heard him play in a small group setting and just fell in love. Just fell in love. So he played with me last summer on a few festival dates in France. And then I just said, you know what? I would love to record you. So that's what I'm doing. The 22nd through 24th, we'll be recording Theo and his band, Afrosonic.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Are you going to do any work with him? Vocalize?
Well, I mean, I'm going to sing maybe 3 tracks. He wants me to sing more, but I don't know. I said, no, Theo, now come on.
Not everybody can have you.
No.
Dee Dee has to belong to Dee Dee.
Well, you know, my second daughter is a vocalist also. Her name is China Moses.
Uh-huh.
And I'm flying her over to do. She's supposed to do 1 track, but I think I'm going to give a couple of tracks to her.
Ooh, sounds good.
Yeah, and then we're supposed to do a number together, the 3 of us.
All right, excellent.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Young Mr. Theo Croker has a wonderful present and an unbelievable future ahead of him without a doubt. From his latest release, Escape Velocity, the song changes. Now, let's celebrate another birthday. On the 19th of May in 1948, the great West Coast saxophonist, bandleader, and composer Tom Scott was born. Let's enjoy music from his Tom Scott and the L.A. Express, the album Smokin' Section, the song TCBNE, which stands for Taking Care of Business in the Key of E, on Jazz America from VOA 1. birthday boy Tom Scott and the LA Express taking care of business in the key of E in D. More of Each One, Must Teach One, next hour on Jazz America.